Good and bad news with the fall of our Australian dollar recently, losing 15 cents in just 2 months. Now, if you're headed overseas or buying things online, you're probably not happy about this. But if you're an exporter or you work in many of Australia's exporting industries, it's probably the lifeline you need right now. With all this movement of the dollar, the continuing tension in the US and all the talk, but not as much action in Europe, I thought it was time to catch up with our financial guru, Charlie Perkins from Perkins Portfolio Management. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Ashley.
Now, forgetting sport, thinking finances this morning, if we can start with our Australian dollar, why has it dropped in value?
I guess the biggest reason, we measure our Aussie dollar against the US dollar. And what we've had over the last couple of weeks is we've had an enormous flight to quality move, whereby we've seen international financial markets seek the most liquid asset they can find, which is US dollars. And pretty much every other currency goes backwards against the US dollar in such a move.
So is that good for the US then that their dollar is strengthening?
The US dollar's been quite weak. In this current global macro environment, I don't think any country is happy with how strong its currency is. We've seen sort of competitive devaluations from the Swiss and other countries as well. So In the long term, any exporting nation doesn't like to see sharp appreciations in their currency. But the US is happy to, in the short term, I don't think they're too concerned about that at this stage.
What are they concerned about? Are they about to go back into recession?
I think what we're seeing at the moment with this heightened volatility is the key issue is still Europe. Sound a little bit like a broken record, but it takes time for countries to default. And we've been saying since May of last year that Greece had about 12 to 18 months left to run before they would default. So that timeline's about bang on. What's not clear to the financial markets is, has the EU troika, are they ahead enough of the curve to protect from any other contagion that we might see on a Greece default?
And is there a simple answer to that, Charlie?
Sadly, no. There's cogent arguments for various outturns in Europe, and I guess the three easy ones to look at would be: does Greece get ejected? That's difficult because there's no facility within the common currency to eject a member. The member needs to raise their hand and ask to leave.
They're not likely to do that.
Not clear they'd want to do that at this stage. They've been relying on handouts for over 12 months. The other option would be if Germany decided that wanted to cut out all the dead wood within the euro and go it alone themselves, and if you like, issue a new Deutschmark. I've seen some quite persuasive private sector arguments on that. However, our base case thinking is that would be almost suicide for Germany and would make their currency so expensive as to render most of their industry base pretty uncompetitive.
So it wouldn't really save them to take that move.
It probably wouldn't save them, that's right. Yeah. It would divest them of the notional dead wood in the short term. But in the longer term, their currency would be so... They're very scared of perhaps turning into another Switzerland. They look at Switzerland and they look at how expensive their currency is, and they don't want to go down that road.
Is that why then that the German Chancellor Angela Merkel said just last week she pledged that Europe would not abandon Greece? She was saying solidarity is cheaper for us than going it alone. Can you explain why that is?
I think what her thinking is points to what we're saying. If they do go it alone, she's talking about two things there. First of all, if Germany has to write a cheque for the entire euro mess, that will prove difficult and expensive and a moving target. She's also talking about the need for there to be some version of a common currency within that eurozone. and that would be the correct path for them. I tend to think that's right. And the third option that I can see going forward, it's certainly the most elegant solution. It's probably not the easiest, is to create some sort of southern European zone whereby you seal off the Mediterranean states, reissue them with a southern euro, trades at 0.6 of the euro. So what that does is it stops the other Mediterranean countries saying, well, we'll just default too and not pay our debts back. Solves that in one swoop. It keeps the northern Europeans together. As I say, difficult to do, but one thing it would have is it would have buy-in from all members.
Now, well, David Cameron was saying last week he wanted to cut loose from the EU, I think I heard him saying, for exactly those sort of reasons. Do you think that would be the right balance to appease everyone?
I think, interesting you mentioned the British. They, of course, famously kept their own currency, and they were concerned about, I think, just such a scenario we're seeing at the moment. Europe is Britain's largest trading partner. We've seen what could best be described as a preemptive move from Bank of England Governor Mervyn King on Friday night to inject more funds into the UK economy. Basically a vote of no confidence in the EU that they will, again, get ahead of this problem. So we're kind of using the phrase no news is bad news at the moment. The longer that there's not a resolution and that Greece isn't successfully dismounted in an orderly fashion, the more likely there is that that things could get disorderly. If things get disorderly, this gives rise to a potential liquidity crisis and roll tape for 2008.
And social unrest, of course.
Correct, and that's what we're seeing. So we've seen the press in Greece. Same would happen very much, let's say, I'd say the Irish have been fairly stoic about the austerity package that they've been given. However, it's not clear to me that they'll be able to pay that back. I think we'll see haircuts or discounts given on Irish debt. If we then roll to France, I think we can be fairly confident that they'll take to the streets.
Well, and some of the analysis that I've heard is, yes, all of this is going on in Europe, but the real key factor for Australia is keeping a very close eye on what happens in China. And I know we've talked about this before. Looking in at Asia and China in particular, how are we travelling in terms of what's happening over there?
The thing to I guess remember about China is that the statistics that we get, we need to have a bit of a pinch of salt. It's not clear to us. There's been too many years of the perfect numbers that they've been hitting on their budgets. And the old rule of thumb is if you use an economic indicator as a whether you are in or out of your job, thinking about it if you're a local governor, then surprise surprise you'll hit that number. So I guess what's happened with China, what we've seen over the last couple of years, is a massive amount of infrastructure spending. We're talking 25 to 40% of their GDP. This is not a number you can continue to deliver forever. So what the world wonders about with China is there is a softening coming. Will that be a hard landing, or will they be able to engineer more of a glide path down? Where I think Australians need to be careful is because it's hard to get information from China, it's a little bit too easy to think, well, they're growing at 7-8% a year and we'll be right. In the long term, that'll be correct. And it's important to get your, I guess, horizons correct. In the long term, China is growing and we will see significant growth out of that region in the next 5, 10, 20 years. In the short term, it's not unreasonable to expect some hiccups. For example, the Hang Seng this year is down about 25%.
Oh, that's quite a big hiccup.
It is. So it's not just as simple as saying, where's the economic growth? I'll put my chips there. So that's probably more of an indication of where the Hang Seng was at the start of the year than where it is now. But we do see some short-term hiccups for China. And what that means here for Australia is the bulk commodity contracts that have been driving the BHP share price, the Rio share price, And frankly, the entire mining boom that we're having, it shouldn't be taken necessarily as a given or any straight line projection I see from analysts. I tend to want to overlay a little bit more risk to that.
Yeah. And just lastly, Charlie, going back to the conversation that we started with, in terms of the Australian dollar, what do you think is set to happen between, say, now and Christmas?
Well, the FX market is extremely volatile and about the closest thing to a casino that we have, I think, within our within the financial world. There's a tremendous amount of volatility in the FX market at the moment, and to answer your question, the Aussie dollar as measured against the US dollar, I think we'll stay around here. We're currently trading at 97 cents. I would see us in a 95 to 105 band between now and Christmas. The reason I don't think we go back up any higher than that is I think the demand for the US dollar will remain fairly strong for the rest of the year with reference to Europe. We will probably stay around here. However, we're looking for a rate cut come Melbourne Cup Day. We know the RBA love moving rates on Melbourne Cup Day.
They do indeed.
They get good bang for their buck then. So between now and Christmas, I think we'll probably stay in that 95-105 band. Over the longer term, it's difficult to see how the Aussie trades against the US dollar. It depends on how this current crisis works its way out. But I would expect the Aussie dollar to be stronger against the euro, the yen, and the sterling. So those other key sort of trading crosses over the next 12-18 months.
But as we know, anything can happen, of course. Charlie, thank you for talking us through these figures. Appreciate it.
Pleasure, Angela.
Charlie Perkins from Perkins Portfolio Management.